You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
There was a joint Labor-Greens fiscal policy announced this week called the Budget Responsibility Rules. Can you explain a bit what these rules entail?
Yeah, it's really a framework just to demonstrate to voters how we would intend to work together on achieving our policy goals, but within a responsible fiscal framework. So just giving a set of guidelines. So to give you an example, we're committed to delivering a sustainable operating surplus across an economic cycle, bringing down net crown debt, prioritising investment in some of our long-term financial and sustainability challenges, like, for instance, restarting contributions to the superannuation fund, and ensuring a progressive taxation system. So really it's giving people an indication of the things we'd prioritise.
Mm-hmm. But do these rules really present any significant deviation from the economic status quo?
Yeah, I would say they absolutely would, particularly when you look at ideas like prioritising investments to address financial and sustainability challenges. That's not something we've seen out of the national government, particularly given 2009. Almost as soon as they came in, they suspended making payments to the New Zealand Super Fund. And the consequence of them postponing investment in that has meant, of course, that they're now looking at alternatives like changing the age in retirement. Also, crown debt under national has been significant. We're making a commitment to bring that down.
Right, but the talk of sustainable surpluses and an approach to government expenditure that seeks to maximise benefits has kind of sparked criticism from within the left wing and a reluctance to deviate from what some might see as this neoliberal economic policy is seeing many Labour and Green Party voters becoming steadily disillusioned. So what do you kind of make of the shift in attitudes?
Yeah, I think that actually this is not a shift for us. But what's important to highlight is that we recognise that while the national government has been trying to obtain a surplus, they've left a deficit in social spending, and that's not what we intend to do. We believe it's absolutely possible to make investment in core crown priorities, like, for instance, core priorities for us, like health. Where we've seen $1.7 billion cut out in real terms. Education, where we've seen frozen funding for schools, which is having a real impact. Even students, for instance, their ability to borrow even living costs has sat at, you know, $170, which isn't even covering their costs. There is a deficit at the moment in terms of social spend. That is not what we are saying will continue. That will absolutely be the reverse under us. We only need to look back at our record. We did deliver 9 budget surpluses, but at the same time created things like Working for Families, KiwiSaver, interest-free student loans. Ultimately, it's all about priorities. For us, those were the priorities, not things like what National has implemented, like tax cuts. So it's just a different approach.
But fiscal management and debt reduction often go hand in hand with cutting down on social spending. But in order to kind of provide the things that you just mentioned, you know, decent health, education, housing and other public services to the people, you need to make these significant investments, right? So in saying that...
Absolutely. And look, we've looking at this, we've got to, of course, check what the budget looks like when National delivers it this year to see the way the books currently look. But National are, for instance, talking at the moment about having enough of a surplus to deliver tax cuts. Mm-hmm. Our view is that cannot, when you've got such underspend in some significant social areas, that cannot be a priority. And so, as I say, it's just about priorities and what's available differently. And at the same time, recognising that what we have said is a sustainable operating surplus across an economic cycle. So for us, it's about looking at the whole, but also acknowledging that we are always going to have very different priorities to National.
But do you think these budget responsibility rules will be tested at some point, or like need to be reassessed?
No, I mean we've constantly looking at our priorities against what the books allow, you know, and even. Both the Greens and Labor, you'll hear us talk about the fact that whilst what's incredibly important for us is the social well-being of New Zealand, you cannot deliver social well-being if the bucket's empty. But these two things come hand in hand. To give you an example, we of course want to see wages lift in New Zealand. We want to make sure that we as government are being a responsible employer and using our ability to contract, for instance, aged care workers to be paying at a much higher rate, making sure that we're getting, you know, a living wage out there. Now, when you do that, there's positive economic spin-off. People spend when they're on lower wages, their discretionary income, it goes back into small businesses, it goes into taxation. And so, you know, there are economic benefits to taking the kind of socially minded approach that parties like Labor and the Greens are more likely to do. But we understand that we cannot deliver strong social services unless we have the books in a sound, sustainable fashion as well. The two go hand in hand.
Mm. I'd just like to touch on that a little bit more specifically. How will the budget responsibility rules actually commit to bettering the lives of the poor, the working class, and the unemployed?
Yeah, this is not a policy. The budget responsibility rules in of themselves are not a policy. They're simply a framework. They're a guide that will say, look, when we're looking at all of the things that we're doing, we also have this guide that we're operating to as well. So all of the policies we've released to date, they don't change. All of our commitments to things like, for instance, lifting the standing of support workers in schools, things like that do not change as a result of this. We've been working around these kind of guidelines for a long time. It just so happens we're now releasing them and telling people what we are using as a framework going forward.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, what would you kind of have to say to the people who are criticising these rules and saying you've kind of sold out, these are not my words obviously, but as a centre-left government?
No, I don't. You know, as I say, I mean, last Labor government, with all of the things that it achieved, still delivered those nine surpluses, still got, you know, net crown debt down to close to zero, and it had the strongest continuous economic growth since World War II. At the same time, it's having some of the lowest unemployment in the OECD and achieving all of those other things which are so crucially important, like, for instance, working for families. Now, we did not finish the job we started. You know, we're first to admit that, yes, we made a dent in child poverty, but we did not get nearly where we wanted to be. And we still have we will inherit some staggering social deficits. We're committed to all of them. These things are not mutually exclusive, and I really challenge people who say that we've strayed from anything that we believe in on this.
Jacinda Ardern, thank you very much for speaking with me today.
Thanks for your time.
All right, you have a lovely day.
You too. Catch you. Bye.
Bye.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.